Hey everybody, welcome.
Hi everyone.
To the Movie Boner Podcast. Okay, so this episode today I'm very excited about because I've been waiting for a long time. And Dustin will say, you probably made a spreadsheet. I did make a spreadsheet for this.
I know you made a spreadsheet, and it makes no sense for this episode why you did.
You got to be prepared, first of all. And I also, we're only going to select 10 rotten movies each to form a team of the best rotten movies out there. Rotten meaning below 60% on Rotten Tomatoes, they consider rotten. But there's a shitload of great movies out there that would be considered rotten. So that's today's episode.
We'll get into it. But
yeah, it's kind of a follow-on to our previous episode, maybe a year or so ago, about how Rotten Tomatoes actually works, because a lot of people don't understand that. So we tried to clear it up. But it's still very annoying, and we'll definitely get into it. Yeah. But before that, a couple things to check in on. First of all, new merch in the merch store. The merch store is fully refreshed, got all kinds of new stuff. New Average Joe's logo from Dodgeball, a lot of new things incorporating that, and that's very exciting. But I think the biggest news that we're going to be having coming up here in the next couple of weeks, you're going to want to be on Instagram and all of the social media places to find out what's up. But if you're a Movie Boners fan and you want to support the podcast and also get extra content, we're launching a premium separate feed. So if you pay a little bit per month and support us and help make the show better, we want to give back to you as much as possible. And so you'll get extra episodes in a completely different format. We've never done anything like this, and it's been very interesting and exciting to do, and want to add more in the future. And then we also are going to have already have a special fan club only, members only merch store that has unique designs in it, and honestly the coolest designs that we've ever had so far.
They are pretty badass, I'm not gonna lie.
And then also discounts on all of the normal stuff, so the normal merch and all the other merch is discounted because you're supporting us in other ways. And and we want to do giveaways, and we want to do all kinds of cool stuff, and we want to kind of just form a more close-knit movie fan community that kind of all share the same ideals and just have fun together. And so if you're interested in that, you'll find out more in the next couple of weeks, because that is going to be launching in July 4th, Independence Day, and it's going to be the most exciting thing ever. So that's that. Let's see, what new things have you seen lately?
I only watched one new thing recently. I watched that Anyone But You rom-com.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
Okay, you finish your not
gonna lie. I like that first. We both said I'm not gonna lie at the same time.
Because of the kind of thing that you might feel compelled to lie about. But you finish yours.
Okay. I only watched it for one reason, because I had like no desire to see it, but I watched it for one reason and one reason only. You had told me the old dude on the plane is also the
MVP of the movie.
The MVP of the movie. So I was like, well, I gotta see this old dude. He must be like a running gag throughout the movie.
Oh no.
No, he has like a line and maybe 20 seconds of screen time, most of which is not even focused on him.
He was so good, I really thought they'd bring him back at the end, but they did not.
But his one line, I think, was actually the funniest line of the whole movie, because, I think if two people were arguing the way those two do on that plane, my reaction would be very similar. What the fuck?
Yeah, I died laughing out loud at that part in particular. My, I'm not going to lie, is the more I think about that movie, the more I think I enjoyed it. And I don't know anything about Sydney Sweeney, and I don't get really the hype around her, other than she has big boobs. But I am kind of becoming more and more of a fan of Glenn Powell, and and I'm excited to see him in Twisters, and I'm excited to see his new movie Hitman. He looks really I don't know. There's something about him. I'm like, I like you, guy that I just met.
He kind of strikes me as potentially like the next like McConaughey or the next like Cruz, kind of taking those mantles next. I could see him being that guy, which could be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. It had some funny, cute moments that I thought were like, all right. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt like they could have argued a little bit more, or at least a little more aggressively, considering everyone's like, they can't even be in the same room next to each other. And then they're like, actually kind of fine being in the same room together the whole time. But it had a few funny moments. I thought the Australian parents and the best friend, the dude, I thought they were funny. Because they're just so not what we are all used to, and I like that they played on that joke. But it was all right. It was all right, yeah. But yeah, I really only watched it just to see the old dude, and then he was only in it for 12 seconds in the first, like, third of the movie, and then he never came back, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess we're not getting the old guy to come back.
At least he made you laugh. I'm glad that I was right about that.
He did. What about you, bud?
I watched two things. I watched The Fall Guy, which I thoroughly loved. It's very, very fun, and it is the best movie of the year I've seen so far, just like all around. Like, obviously, Dune Part 2 was huge and incredible, but I think The Fall Guy is for everybody. Everybody would enjoy that movie. One of the best rom-coms ever made. Sorry, anyone but you, but you're not as cool as The Fall Guy. And then I watched Dark Matter, which is a show.
I haven't watched it yet, but when it
clicked, when it clicks, like what it was about.
Yeah.
Because Christy told me that she loves that book. And not only, and then she reminded me that you also read and loved that book, and that you guys nerded out for like half an hour, and I must have blocked it out of my mind because I didn't remember that. And I just like, you know, thought my own thoughts over in this corner. But yeah, it's very, I've only watched the first two episodes, but it's very good. And Christy says it's exactly like the book. The creator, the author of the book, is the creator of the show and wrote at least the episodes we've seen. So it definitely is very faithful. And we're big Joel Edgerton fans and Jennifer Connelly fans. And so, yeah, it's very interesting, very different. And I think if you liked Coherence, there are similar themes, not the same style or substance, but similar story science themes, at least so far, that seemed very interesting.
Yeah. I had seen like the promos for it, and it just never clicked with me for some reason. And then I think it was your wife that posted like, they are one and the same. And my brain was like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
Very excited about that.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a recommend so far. I'm interested to see where it goes. I think it's on Apple or some shit. I don't know. So yeah, that's all that stuff.
Cool.
Are you ready to select the best rotten movies in the world?
I guess.
So we're going to go through selecting teams of 10 each and trying to pick the best movies that we love the most, that we're sure you will love also, and be surprised to hear that critics think that they are rotten. Or Rotten Tomatoes, in particular, has compiled a bunch of critics that overall have said that it's below a 60%, and thus making it rotten. And,
I fucking hate that website so much. Like, I hate the handful of times I had to be on it just to scroll it, because it's just so mind-numbingly stupid how much these critics hate or are paid to hate and review bomb half of these movies. And then I find myself hearing people talk about how they go and check everything on Rotten Tomatoes before the movies, you know, before seeing a movie over the weekend. Like, well, if it's not doing good on Tomatoes, then I'm not going to see it. And it's like, I'm always more disappointed in people when they rely on shit like Rotten Tomatoes to tell them how they should feel about something that is pure entertainment. Go watch the fucking movie.
Right. Right. Like, it's low, very low risk, first of all. Like, you're not buying a new car. You don't need all these different people telling you exactly what you should think.
Like, just go watch the movie. If you don't like it, you don't like it. Or if you liked it, you're like, cool. If I would have relied on stupid shit like Rotten Tomatoes, I never would have watched it. So just go watch the movies. God, I wish this site would just get shut down. It's so dumb. It's so okay, dumb. Okay,
well, that's not what we're here for.
I know, but it's so dumb.
I do think it's funny, just for context, one of probably the worst movies ever made that is sincerely terrible and no one should see and has no redeeming value, a Serbian film has a 45% critic rating and a 43% audience rating. And a lot of the movies I'm going to select, at least today, have a 10 to 20% rating. So way worse in their mind than a Serbian film.
Oh my God. See, it's just proof. It's just proof. Shut down Rotten Tomatoes. Just do it.
Hashtag. Okay. So let's start by seeing who goes first. And I imagine that we will just flip a coin for this shit. Do you want heads or tails, my man?
I am going to take heads.
Alrighty. Flipping, for those of you not watching the video, tails. Oh, Jake goes first. Okay. So we're going to go with, let's see, let me make this and then make this. And Dustin is down here. I will go first and present this so you can all see what we're doing. Which one are we doing here? Hold on.
I'm not going to lie.
Has all my secrets. You can't watch that one.
I don't care about your secrets.
Super secrets.
I was really hoping that instead of hitting the screen share button, you were going to accidentally close out your window again. Like you seem to continuously do.
I have done that more times than I care to admit. It's mostly when I stop sharing my screen. So at the end of this episode, if I disappear, that's why. Okay, so since I get to go first, I get my pick of the litter, and it's a very difficult thing to do. I think that I have to go with, though, Tommy Boy, which has a shocking 39% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Because Rotten Tomatoes is stupid. I'm sorry, I'm going to keep saying it. I'm just going to.
Okay, your turn, my good man. Everybody loves Tommy Boy. I don't understand how anybody... I get the critics generally don't like comedies, but it's fucking Tommy Boy. And it's
fucking Tommy Boy.
It's peak Chris Farley. It's peak David Spade. Everybody involved is just perfect.
All right, so you went Tommy Boy. Which tells me that you and I are approaching this list probably with similar mentalities.
Okay.
So, let's see here. All right. I'm going to go with Boondock Saints.
Oh, yeah. I knew that was going to be high on the list as well. Yeah, the Boondock Saints sitting at, I think, at 26%.
I'm not sure because I didn't write down their... Yeah, 26%.
Yeah, which is... I mean, I kind of get a little more with Boondock Saints. It's not for everybody, but...
Unless you talk to people from our generation, and then it is for everybody.
Especially if you're a dude. Like, this is a perfect movie to throw on and enjoy. Boy, the mayhem.
Yeah.
Boondock Saints is so fucking cool. Okay. Yeah, that tells me pretty much that you are on the same page with me for sure. In that case, I will go maybe a little less family friendly than I guess Tommy Boy's family friendly. But I know that people love this movie. People have to love this movie. Well, now I'm second guessing myself. Yeah, I'm going to go with Super Troopers, which has a shockingly low 36%, but is one of the funniest comedies of all time.
It is fantastic. You know, I actually didn't like it the first time I saw it.
Oh, really?
And then, yeah. And then some friends kept quoting it, and it was like annoying to me, but it got like stuck in my brain. So I had to watch it again just so I could see the scene. And then I fucking loved it. And now that one and the sequel. I'm in the minority. I think the sequel is just as funny. So yeah. Well, unlike you, I am not second guessing my number two pick, because when I saw this, I was like, yet again, you're just validating why I hate this stupid website so much. Yeah. So at 52%, I'm going with Spaceballs.
Ooh, yeah. Spaceballs is that. It defines a generation, like more than any other movie we've selected.
It's crazy to me.
And it's Mel Brooks. It's everything that it's probably one of the best, maybe I would say the best satire or parody movie that I've ever seen.
I mean,
maybe it's just because we grew up so heavily on original Star Wars. But yeah, everybody involved in that movie, from Moranis to John Candy, is just hilarious. Okay. That's very good. Good for you. Spaceballs, taking it off the board. I've got a couple comedies. I'm going to go with more of a Steven Spielberg movie, is shockingly. One of my favorite Steven Spielberg movies is shockingly at a 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. So I have to select Hook.
Oh, you took it, you bitch.
Hook is my favorite Peter Pan movie. It might be my favorite Robin Williams movie. That's tough to say, but it's way, way up there. And I love it. I love it so much. And it hurts my soul to see it at 29%.
Because it just doesn't make sense.
No, it really doesn't. It's foolishness.
All right. Well, let's see here. Oh, man. What
do I want? Getting some hemming and hawing over there.
No. All right. I'm sticking with my badassery right now. It's not a word. It is now.
Is that the theme you have going on?
No, it's not. It's not. But I feel like I need one that's actually for the whole family. So
Hook's not for the whole family?
No, I get out of town. My list, you turd.
I thought it was a jab at me.
No,
why?
What did I do? Like, I've got like the dad. Well, I guess they're both for dads, but Spaceballs.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So for the whole family, at 49%, which is actually a little higher than what I expected to see it at, but still just aggravating because we both recently just rewatched this movie and we're both reminded of just how amazing in like every aspect this movie is.
Okay.
So for my third pick, I'm going with Small Soldiers.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. As you were talking, the only movie I could see on my list that was at 49% was Twilight, and I really hoped you were going to select
Twilight. Oh, God!
No, Small Soldiers is great. It's really, really, really good.
It's
like so way better than it deserves to be, and just as good as we always remembered it was. If it's been a while since you've watched Small Soldiers, you should revisit it, because it is absolutely a fantastic time.
It is so much fun. So much fun.
All right. Let me put this little poster down here as quickly as I humanly can and vamp while you listen to the audio and don't care that I'm doing this poster. I'm sorry, audience. My next pick. It's a movie that I feel like gets forgotten, but that's no excuse for it being so low at a 39%, because every time you bring it up, everybody's reaction is the same. Oh my God, that movie is so good. My next pick is Man on Fire.
I couldn't believe how low that was.
Yeah, sitting at 39%. Did they
not watch this movie?
I know, so good. Didn't Tony Scott do that in his last movie?
No, it wasn't his last.
Did he do it, though?
It's either him or Ridley.
I don't think it was the Riddles. I don't think it was the Riddler. It is Tony Scott, yeah. Okay. What is his last movie? Not as producer. This is me wasting time while Dustin finds something new. Oh, yeah, this came even before Deja Vu, the other one.
Yeah.
Unstoppable from 2010. Was that a train movie? That was
his last one.
Yeah, with Chris Pine and Denzel.
All right.
What did I say? Man on Fire?
Yeah.
Phenomenal movie.
And you still don't have the poster even after all that vamping.
It wasn't vamping. It was me looking up Tony Scott's incredible and illustrious career. You son of a bitch. I said I was going to do a lot of shit talking, and I haven't done that yet. You're going to lose this, by the way. Oh, that's the other thing that I didn't mention at the beginning. We're selecting now, and you might say, who cares? But you care, because we're going to put our teams on social media, and you're going to decide which list of rotten movies is the best team of rotten movies.
Yeah.
So go to Instagram after this episode comes out, and you should vote for that. You should vote for me.
No.
But you should vote in general.
You should vote, but you should vote the correct way and go with me. So,
after all that vamping, I've got all the posters in order.
All right. Well, let's see here. I feel like I need one for the moms, right?
They are a cornerstone of our audience. It's we love
true.
You.
It's true.
I love you moms out there.
It's true. I feel like I need one for the moms, but I don't. Man, it kind of pains me to put this on there, and it's a little bit of just to kind of stick it to you, Jake.
I know what it is.
So I think just as suck it, Jake, I'm gonna take The Notebook.
Yeah, you are. Oh man, I just love hearing those words come out of your mouth. That you want The Notebook on your team. You think that it is a great movie.
Well, I didn't say I thought it was a great movie.
You said you put it on the list of the best movies that are considered rotten that should not be rotten, thus saying it's actually good.
I saved it to be a stick it to you pick. The rest of my movies are not spiteful.
Okay. Your protest is noted. I'll go with that. Yeah, I was amazed to see that as well. I'm a huge fan of it. I love The Notebook.
I was a little shocked to see it that low.
Yeah, it's not even like a super common romantic movie. Like, I don't think it's overly done or overly cheesy or anything. Like, it's not boring or lame or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea why they had it at a 54%. Okay. Yeah, this is, you gravitated to all the same movies I did. So I ordered all of my like potentials in like, I had a group of like six that I had in the number ones that of course I'm going to take. And you're all in that, you're in that same group as well at this point. I'm worried about my next pick because I don't know if it's nostalgia for me or if it really is that good. I think that it is really way better than Rotten Tomatoes says. And I'm shocked that they have it as a 23%.
You son of a bitch!
And I'm pretty confident that it's a great movie, but it is also very nostalgic for me because I've loved it my whole life. So
fuck you,
the Mighty Ducks.
God damn it! Literally my next pick.
And the great Mighty Duck man himself, Emilio Estevez. I love Mighty Ducks, and I love all the Mighty Ducks. I love D2 and D3 as well, but the original is just so heartfelt.
Yeah.
And all the kids, and when they're like sepia tone lake pond, frozen over pond that he skates around and comes on, I just get like my whole childhood comes flooding back to me.
It really is just a cool movie. I did rewatch it last December.
Mm.
And I was a little worried because I have all three, and it had been a while since I watched all three, but I was like, mm-hmm. We're doing this. They are great. The first one is the best one. And I was like, nope. Mighty Ducks, there's a reason all of us kids saw it and then played hockey in the street immediately afterwards.
Yeah. But in the first one, you don't have the, what do they call themselves? The Bruiser Brothers? What are those two guys?
No, you don't have the brothers yet.
And you don't have the Knuckle Puck from Kenan Thompson. That's in the second one.
Yeah, but it's still incredible. It's so.
And the third one, they go to like the Olympics or some shit and beat Germany. Fuck Germany. Although I had a crush on that German girl. She was nice to them for a minute.
All right. Oh, man. You just threw the wrench, and I am completely thrown. Fuck.
Yeah, I imagine. I was like, shoot, we're going through this list pretty fast, but I was like, these are all the obvious ones. It's going to get harder from here. There are ones that I could bring up to Vamp that I'm like, that I don't think we'll select, but still want to talk about while you think through. But that also distracts you. But maybe that helps me.
I quit listening to you, but
that's wise.
All right.
The original Judge Dredd's at 22%, and that's going to be my next pick.
You do that. All right, I'm gonna go back to a good wholesome family night. This was also super nostalgic for us. I can't believe it's only at 51%, but the movie's still cool. It spawned some pretty decent sequels, actually, even when no one thought they could be possible. So you have a Robin Williams classic on yours. I'm going to put a Robin Williams classic on mine. I'm going to go with Jumanji.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the Rotten Tomatoes on that one?
51. Oh, you don't.
51.
Yeah.
That movie is so beloved, not just for the memes that it has spawned in the year since, but yeah, it is definitely one of those Robin Williams movies that everybody loves.
It's just, it's classic. It's so much fun. The practical effects, even the early like mid 90s CGI monkey, like that's still kind of cool. Like,
I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was a kid because my parents thought that the game was too much like Ouija boards or something. And they're like, oh, they're using magic or the devil or something to trap his soul in this game. Oh. I don't know what they thought, but they're like, that sounds adjacent to Ouija boards. You're not watching that movie. And then I watched it growing up. I was like, this is just a fun adventure.
It's just a fun adventure.
Okay. Where is that on my list? I don't even know if I have it in my top group. Jumanji. Oh yeah, that's pretty low. So that's the first one that you've gone that I was not planning on taking, which is interesting. Right. Probably because I didn't have that nostalgic love from seeing it as a child.
Probably.
Okay. This one, I feel a little like guilty choosing my next pick because it is at a 57. It's very close to not being rotten. But it also should be way higher than that. And it fits within the bounds of the rules, so I'm not cheating. But I do, in my mind, I'm like, maybe I should choose one that's like really low that people should be surprised by. Some people might say that I know that it's the kind of movie that not everybody loves. So probably some people might say, yeah, 57% sounds right for Top Gun. Well, yeah, by the way, I was going to say I'm choosing Top Gun. I got stuck in my brain as I was thinking things through and it slipped out. So
it's okay.
Top Gun.
It's okay.
And I don't know if they like raise things up posthumously later on in the life cycle of a movie, but you would think after people revisited it after Maverick that it would have risen up higher than that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder what Maverick is at. Let me see.
Maverick has to be like high 80s, I would assume.
Oh, you think so?
I do.
I'm scrolling. Oh my God. The critics say it's a 96% and the audience say it's a 99%. How do you like Top Gun Maverick and not like Top Gun? Like, I don't understand.
Well, I mean,
it's the same goddamn movie.
But Maverick is better than
the Top. It is better, but it's like not. It's better because it came on the back of Top Gun. It touches all of the feels, and you have old Val Kilmer, like ailed Val Kilmer, which is such a heartfelt moment.
Maybe that's what it is.
That adds a lot of gravitas. I get that, but Top Gun's so cool. I just realized I have a like. I should pick a movie for the moms. I have a lot of dude movies. A lot of dude movies and Mighty Ducks. And I guess Hook is not really a dude movie. Although it is about Lost Boys. So that's pretty dude movie-esque.
All right. Well, my next pick is also one that, man, it is riding the line very close. To the point where, like, I have checked it daily just to make sure.
Is it at like 59 and a half?
It's at 59. It's at 59.
Okay.
And I'm like, but it counts. So I'm going with it because this is one of those movies that is just pure entertainment. It's tons of fun to watch. It appeals to everyone, it's for everyone. It's got a unique soundtrack for the time period that the movie takes place in, but it works somehow. I don't know. but this is just one of those movies where, like, when it came out, everyone was obsessed with it, and rightfully so, because it's so cool.
Yeah.
But my next pick, I'm going to go with A Knight's Tale.
Yeah. Yeah, the music in particular, I remember just like blowing people's minds.
Yeah.
How cool it was. And the mixture of old, Dark Ages, Renaissance, whatever, knights in shining armor with classic rock tunes. That was pretty darn cool. Yeah, and always going back to seeing a young. What's his face?
Heath Ledger.
Yeah. Which I guess he will be eternally young. He never got old, which is the tragedy.
That is a tragedy. Like, that's genuinely sad.
I mean, yeah. I would be so curious to see, like, what his career would look like right now.
I think it would be intense to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I think the kind of movies he would have done would have just been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, or at least that's what I tell myself. So
I think so. I mean, he had the pedigree and the track record up to that point for sure, and was only getting better. Like everybody would say, Dark Knight was his peak. So at least you went out on top, good sir.
It's true.
Okay, my next pick is one of my favorite science fiction films of all time. I know you're a fan as well, and you'll be upset that it's at a 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. but I'm going to go with Equilibrium.
That's at 40%?
Yeah, dude.
Dude, Rotten Tomatoes is just the dumbest fucking... God damn this fucking site, dude.
Yeah, it's... Hold on, when I type in Equilibrium, I'm getting all this math stuff. I don't want the math stuff. I want a badass, set, like, futuristic kung fu, gun fu movie about your feelings. So I know I said I was going to stop picking dude movies, and I did. This is maybe arguably a dude movie, but it is about your feelings and how important your
dude movie.
How important your feelings are. And how your feelings make you human, and you shouldn't suppress them or let society or the government suppress them. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important for men to get in touch with their feelings. So I'm going to say, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I didn't even make any rules, so I don't need to worry about breaking them. But you know what I'm saying. It is still a movie that I recommend constantly that people haven't seen. They haven't even heard of Equilibrium and Christian Bale and how incredible it is. So if you haven't seen it, fucking check it out. It's incredible.
It's so fucking good. All right. Well, I'm looking at my list and I'm like, how do I only have one super stupid comedy on there?
Yeah, if there's anything Rotten Tomatoes hates, it's stupid comedies.
And I feel like I need to remedy that. So I'm going to put one that everyone who knows me knows how much I love this movie. It's at 55. It should be way higher because it's fucking awesome. But I'm going to go with Step Brothers.
Okay. Yeah. Your number one favorite
comedy of
all time. Why is my cursor not writing? Yeah, I don't even really get why it would be that low. What did you say it was at?
55,
yeah. It's like the height of Will Ferrell's run in comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people kind of lost interest. Not that he got worse or anything, but people started maybe losing interest after Step Brothers. But I don't think it was because of Step Brothers. It was just, there's a lot of different stuff going on and a lot of different stuff coming out back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie is so funny. It's so good. Always will be. This draft is going faster than I thought. Maybe we do more than 10 picks. How many are you prepared to do?
10?
Fuck. I could share you.
Assuming you don't steal any more of mine, but...
I could share with you my spreadsheet, which has a total of 68 possible choices.
Holy shit, Jake.
So we could be here all night if we want to. hold on, let me do this really quick. Take a quick time out, and then...
I made a spreadsheet of 68 movies. We're picking 10.
Well, I didn't expect we'd get through almost all of them in 40 minutes.
I don't.
which I'm not terribly opposed to, but at the same time,
I say we finish our 10 and then that gives us a chance to kind of touch on some of the like other movies.
Okay.
And just kind of maybe revisit some of the stuff that we had learned about Rotten Tomatoes and our disdain for it and
just more bitching stuff about it.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, we could do that. This is how we decide episodes. We have a very loose topic, and then we don't talk to each other at all about what we're going to do during the episode, and then we do it live.
It's because we're usually on the same page as it all of it, and I don't know. I'm still laughing so hard that you made a fucking Excel spreadsheet for this.
Well, one. I had a help.
This isn't our yearly draft, man.
I didn't go to Rotten Tomatoes website and choose them one by one. I went to several like other websites that were like, here are some of the best rotten movies, and then chose the best ones.
I did the same thing, Jake.
Well, you did it less efficiently than I did, it sounds like. Okay, I said I needed to choose a movie that wasn't for the dudes, and I think maybe the eighth round is the best place to do it. Eight happens to be my favorite number, so don't worry, moms and ladies, that it's so low. But also, I have to credit my wife for this movie, because she introduced it to me a handful of years ago, fairly recently, and I was just blown away at how hilarious it was and incredible it was, and I didn't watch it earlier in my life. So at 47%, we have Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Okay. You have talked about that movie a lot.
Oh, my God. I fell in love with that movie as soon as I saw it, and was amazed at the cast and I guess just the whole presentation of the movie, that it's mm-hmm. it's based on the how ridiculous beauty pageants are, especially in small town Midwest localities, that some people get really into it and then some people don't give a shit at all. And to have such a stellar cast with Kirstie Alley and Kirsten Dunst and Denise Richards and Allison Janney and Brittany Murphy and who's the red-haired girl? Amy Adams. There's so many people that are very young, but do an incredible job of just this very dry humor comedy about beauty pageants. I loved it, and I continue to love it, and it's hilarious.
Beauty pageants are a terrible thing.
How dare you?
Dude.
Celebrate beauty. Like,
I know you're trolling
not me for, right now. Like, not for like children, but
that's
like
what in I general. Mean. That's yeah, what yeah, I yeah, mean.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
The children beauty pageants are just so bad.
Yeah, that's very true. These are at least teenagers. They're barely count. Now I sound like a weirdo. Now you know what
now,
I mean.
Now you sound like a weirdo.
When I say they barely count, I don't mean like barely legal. I mean like... Let's move on. I think it's your turn.
Here's Jake, ladies and gentlemen, digging holes he doesn't mean
I did say that was a pick for the moms. Fuck, I messed it up. Sorry, moms.
Oh, I'm so happy. That was for the moms. Fuck!
Well, win some, you lose some.
That's awesome. All right. Well, I'm going to go with another. I feel like there have been some great adventure films that we've gotten to watch, and this is one that I think surprised everyone. Because mm-hmm. it was so much more fun and entertaining, even though the premise is so, so beyond ridiculous, but you love it, like every minute of it. You're entertained by it. It's fun, and you get to learn a little bit of history ish throughout the course of the film. And that's they got real clever with this movie, and of course it just hits the most important note when it comes to films, which is it's entertaining as hell. Mm-hmm. So at 46%, I'm going with National Treasure.
Yeah.
That movie is just, it's unreal how entertaining this movie is. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, I actually rewatched it recently because it's been a long time since I saw it, and you start kind of getting wrapped up in the memes, and you're like, oh, people have always talked about it being silly, and Nick Cage is silly, and the premise is silly, and it kind of is, but it's also so fun, and the whole movie like makes sense. It's not ridiculous. It makes sense, and the cast and the story. It's just a really fun time, and it kind of knows what it is, I think, is part of it.
Yeah,
when you have Nick Cage, he's like, I'm gonna steal the Declaration of Independence. It's just, it knows what it is, and it stays in its lane, and it's a good thing
it really culture. Is a good thing, and it's just, it's such a, like, it's a good time, and I love that kind of adventure where you find the clue, you have to figure out and solve the clue, and then you move on to the next, and it's just, that kind of stuff is fun. And National mm-hmm. Treasure might do it the best way, like in terms of that kind of adventure film. So it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Okay. I only have two more official picks left. and I really like to grab a couple of these. What? One of them has an extremely low 8% critic score, but has an extreme disparity because the audience score is really high at an 84%. And so I'm inclined to pick that because that indicates to me that the people do like it and it may help me win this little battle we have going on. But also there's movies that I personally like more than this one that are on this list. So it's hard for me to choose. But I think I'm going to go with, I'm going to pander to the people and the fans, and I'm going to go with that one. So at 8%, we have Out Cold.
Dude, Out Cold is amazing.
It's, I don't know how you can give a rating that low to a movie based on Casablanca, one of the greatest movies of all time.
Yeah, and the comedy is so stupid that it's brilliant.
It really is really good. And it is super funny. It's, I think, I guess it falls into that stoner comedy category.
Oh, 100% it does, yeah.
But it's also, I think, one of the best versions of that. It's Animal House on Ice, as the poster says. But that's one of my favorite little factoids, and every time I watch the movie, I can never not see it, that it is definitely a remake of Casablanca for stoners in the early 2000s.
They even, like, quote it.
Yeah, it's very blatant. If you've seen Casablanca and actually pay attention, they're playing at the end. Everything's there.
Like,
it's amazing.
It's amazing. It's so good. All right. I love that pick, Jake. I'll give you credit for that one. That's a great pick.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to, because I love those times where the audiences just prove the kind of movies that they want, especially on the big screen, where they're telling you, we want fun. We want big, we want something that's entertaining and knows what it is and is just there to do what a movie needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the critics just absolutely hate how much the audiences love this movie. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with a super recent one. At a 55% Rotten score, but a 91%.
Damn.
Audience score. Having seen this movie, it really is a blast. It is so much fun. It's just, it's crazy to me, that kind of, like, that's almost split in half. Like, that's nuts. So yeah. I'm going to go with Godzilla X Kong, the new Empire. The movie was, I think, kind of the surprise hit, like, for springtime movie releases. I think everyone assumed it would do okay and then pander out. And instead, it just annihilated, like, the box office. It really genuinely made me bummed that I did not draft it in our real draft. I had thought about it and then was like, no, because it's not going to do much. And then it ends up, it'll go down as one of the biggest films of the year. So
yeah, I was very surprised that neither of us did as well. I think we were tentative because Godzilla Minus One last year, and it was so serious and everybody loved it, that may be what the audience craved more. But there is clearly an audience for the opposite, which is just a slugfest, fun time movie.
Yeah. So I have to go with that one.
Okay. That's very clever of you choosing a very recent movie. I did not even consider that. I was only looking at old stuff. Very clever. Very clever. Okay, for my last movie then, last official movie before we get into other nonsense. And just, you know, it's not good just going to be bitching, but there's going to be a heavy dose of bitching involved. I'm going to go with... I'm trying to remember when this episode comes out because I don't want to spoil a future episode if it comes out earlier. Maybe I'll skip that one. I'm going to go with... Ooh. I really want to choose this one, but the audience score is actually lower than the... actually lower than the critic score. I'm just going to bring it up. This isn't my selection, but... Mars Attacks has a 56% critics rating and a 53% audience rating.
That doesn't make sense. Mars Attacks.
People don't like. I can't believe people don't like Mars Attacks.
That doesn't make
sense. Some people. We love it.
People, you're crazy. You're crazy. Mars Attacks is great.
Mars Attacks is great. Oh, there's so many good ones left. This is so difficult. That's a good one. That should have been my one for the moms or the ladies or whatever I said.
Well, you still have one for the moms.
I know, but I already gave them one. That's enough. That's enough for them.
Does Drop Dead Gorgeous actually count as one for the moms?
I don't know. They probably never seen it. I could go with this one. This is definitely also a crowd pleaser, and it's beloved way more than the audience rating of 68% would even indicate. But I'm going to go with, at 45% rotten score, The Proposal.
Oh. What is its rotten score?
45%.
No. That's wrong. Like,
yeah, that's crazy talk. Crazy town.
That's crazy.
Because
it's so loved. Oh my God.
I know. Yeah, I guess for anybody, we should maybe mention this at the beginning. We're partly assuming that you've listened to our episode about how Rotten Tomatoes works and why you may not be using it correctly. The whole point of Rotten Tomatoes is that they choose or their critics rate a movie based on, you know, whether they think it's good or not. And then Rotten Tomatoes determines if that review is generally positive or generally not positive. And then if so, they say that it's a positive review. And then they collect all of the different positive reviews and see how many positive reviews there are versus negative reviews as a way to tell you the average person is more likely to have a positive opinion than this of this movie than not. So a 91% Rotten Tomatoes score doesn't mean that it's a great movie, a 9 out of 10. It means that most people will think it's fine, at least. Like, you'll think it's positive overall, more often than not. And so The Proposal is that to me. Like, everybody loves The Proposal and has a great time with that movie. So how is that at a 45%, I ask you?
That's a little crazy, because... that movie's so quotable. It's so much fun. It's hilarious. It's awkward as hell.
Yeah, especially the striptease from Oscar.
Yeah.
Okay, your last pick. All right,
my last pick.
All that time when I was explaining how Rotten Tomatoes work, you were listening to me and not picking a movie.
I actually was. Well, I was trying to multitask, but I keep scrolling and just seeing all the good movies. Mm. But I'm also trying to, like, you know, we got to attempt a little. Because you stole, man, I can't believe you fucking took Mighty Ducks from me. I'm gonna be mad at you forever for that.
I didn't know that would be the one contentious pick. I was like, oh, he's really gonna want Tommy Boy.
I was so stoked to pull out Mighty Ducks on you. So it's like, he's gonna get so mad at me and it's gonna be hilarious. And then Karma's like, you know what else is hilarious, Dustin?
Yep.
I'm like, you're right. You're a bitch.
You know, that's what Taylor Swift says. Karma's a bitch. No, well, who says that?
Like, everyone says it. It's an old saying.
I know, but it's like also a lyric. Maybe it's a Jay-Z song.
I don't know.
I think it's a Jay-Z song.
Okay.
if karma's a bitch, how can I not flirt with death? Something like that.
Okay.
I know you're a big Jay-Z fan. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
I'm such a huge Jay-Z fan. Every day I'm listening to it.
Every day.
All right. I'm just trying to buy time because I don't know what my 10th pick is going to be.
I can tell.
Shut up, Jay.
Let's see. What are some other ones I can throw out that you're probably not going to pick?
Ooh. See, I kind of want to try and find one that's like, but see, I feel like my list is actually pretty strong. Because there's a few that I would love to pick, but I'm like, I feel like people would not agree with me if I picked that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of had that. I know that Zack Snyder is pretty notoriously hated by movie critics and Rotten Tomatoes in general. So Batman versus Superman and Man of Steel, they're all rotten, of course, which we love those movies. But then I was also like, Zack Snyder hate is pretty high right now. And if I really want to win this, maybe we'll just skip those.
All right. I know what my next one is.
It's Man of Steel.
No.
Okay.
This was another like kind of surprise hit that everyone I've talked to that has watched it has loved it. It's one of my daughter's favorite movies of the last like 3 years. Okay. And to the point where she has tried convincing her other friends to watch it. And she has tried forcing a few of them who don't do well with hyper violence to watch this movie. Oh. And it makes me a proud dad that she's trying to force them to watch this because I think it's funny.
You had me at hyperviolence.
Yes. The movie's just, again, pure entertainment. It's funny. It's super violent. Cool fight scenes. And it's just a good time. So at 54%, I'm going to go with Bullet Train.
Oh, yeah.
That movie's just so much fun. So much fun. And it really was a surprise, like, summer hit. I don't think anyone expected it to do well, and then it ended up becoming super popular. So,
yeah. That was also David Leitch's last movie before The Fall Guy.
Yeah.
Which is why I chose The Fall Guy in the draft, and I'm shocked that so many people aren't going to the theater to see it.
Because I feel David Leitch has proven himself more times than not that he knows what he's doing and he's going to pump out pure entertainment.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah. He is probably the best Fast and Furious movie ever, Hobbs and Shaw. He has Deadpool 2 and Atomic Bond, I don't really remember, but the rest of it has all been good.
It has this whole fight sequence that both my brother and I are always baffled by because it's done to make it looks exactly like a single take, and the fighting that happens throughout the whole apartment and the stairwell, the bruising and the cuts that happen on Charlize Theron's character, like they do such an incredible job of making sure it's all timed perfectly to appear when it needs to. And it's just Atomic Blonde is a cool movie. Very
okay.
Cool movie. Yeah.
I'll have to revisit it, especially having become more of a fan of his since then.
Yeah.
I don't think I really knew who he was when I watched it or why I would care.
Well, all right.
So there you go. The most random assortment of movies. But I'm also very proud of them. I think we definitely chose some of the best ones. There are a lot more that I almost chose in particular. One that I love incredibly significantly much is The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Yeah, I was struggling with that one, but I talked to more people who have never even heard of it.
Yeah.
And that's upsetting because it's such a beautiful film.
Yeah, it really is. It feels like, it's at a 52% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think the fan score or the audience score of 71% is still low.
Low.
And that movie, I think it applies to everyone. It's a fun time, but also a very meaningful movie. So I recommend it to everybody. It's one of my favorite feel good movies. And then, I'm not going to get any, love for Conan the Destroyer. So we're going to skip that. I fucking love Conan the Destroyer though. And it has a 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. But The Accountant, I know, is a great, great action movie. One of the best, and one of Ben Affleck's best, and just overall. It's at a 52% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I feel like that one's weird to me, because I feel it came out right after or right before Batman v Superman. And I feel like his name on a handful of stuff around that time was just kind of like getting shit on just because BVS received so much negativity towards it. And I think that's a shame. One, like, Batman v Superman is amazing, and you're never going to change our minds on that. But he's also, like, Affleck, I feel he brings a lot of shit on himself, sure.
Yeah.
But he's a good filmmaker. He knows what he's doing in front of the camera and behind the camera. And I feel like The Accountant was kind of taken for granted, and Live by Night is probably the most taken for granted film.
I was going to say the same thing. I think The Accountant and Live by Night are stuck in the wake of Batman versus Superman, because Batman versus Superman was March of 2016. The Accountant was October of 2016. And then Live by Night was January of 2017. So they're all like right after one after the other. And I do think the hate that he got for BVS, or just BVS got in general, not even him in particular. I think everybody, at least nowadays, everybody says, oh, he was a great Batman. But BVS and Zack Snyder in general get a lot of hate for that movie.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily.
Which is a shame.
A movie that's close to not being rotten, but I think that everybody loves, at least from our generation, those who have seen it. And you selected a National Treasure with Nicolas Cage. I almost went with Con Air. Nicolas Cage. Con Air is only at a 58%, but it's like, it's one of my favorites of his in particular. It's so cool. And
even like that super thick accent that he rocks the whole time. Oh,
it makes the movie and it makes the character for me. He just sells it. And John Malkovich as the villain is flawless as well.
It is it's a ridiculous action movie, but it is a very entertaining. I mean, it is 90s action, but it's not like, because Michael Bay didn't do Con Air. Who did Con Air?
That's a good question. I thought it was Michael Bay.
No, it has a similar style, but it's not Bay.
Simon West, who did Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, The Gentleman's Daughter. He did a bunch of shit. He did 30 directorial credits. A lot of it's like TV and music videos. Hold on. Expendables 2. The Con Air was his first feature? Con Air was his first feature in 1997. And they did The General's Daughter and Lara Croft, Tomb Raider. And When a Stranger Calls.
Went from super cool, fun action movie to super depressing, very disturbing military drama about rape to Lara Croft, Tomb Raider.
Wow. Yep. Yep. And then The Mechanic and Expendables 2, and then a bunch of stuff you'd never heard of.
Yep.
Yeah. All in the 5.6 to 4.1 range on IMDb, so kind of fell off there.
All right.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, Connor is a good time, though. I've been wanting to rewatch it for a while. I feel like I'm past due on rewatching it. I feel like I need to do that.
Yeah. This might just be for our generation, but Little Rascals. is at a 21%.
Oh, that's a fucking crime.
I knew that would upset you.
Oh my god, that is a fucking crime. Like,
I knew.
Fuck those critics, man. That's, you know what that is? That is a bunch of like old craggly dudes who have no joy in their life. And man, fuck those guys. Man, what the?
Yeah, yeah.
That movie is a treasure, god damn it.
It really is. It's so sweet and so fun. And even if you didn't see the old black and white shorts, it's great. not to turn this into the Nicholas Sparks cast, but since you brought up The Notebook, I was close to selecting Safe Haven, which is probably my second favorite of his movie. A lot of people will say Walk to Remember. I think that's a fine movie, but Safe Haven for me, for some reason, it just kind of scratches that same itch, and it's a little bit different. It's different than all of his other movies in the sense that you don't have like, oh no, this person is sick, or oh, this person's going to die at the very end, or whatever. it's got a different kind of twists and turns, but still a very sweet romance. It is at 13%, which is gross to me. It's not a bad movie at all.
You know, the only Nicholas Sparks movie that I remember like actually kind of enjoying, but I haven't watched, I don't even remember the last time I saw it, was Message in a Bottle.
Oh, Kevin Costner and Diane Lane. Yeah. That was the prequel to Man of Steel. Message in a Bottle.
I'll probably get mad.
Not the song from The Police, 1970, whatever. It's at a 32%.
Okay.
So also not great. Did you like it?
I remember liking it. Okay. I do remember liking that movie.
It's easy to like Kevin Costner and Diane Lane. So it is good.
I remember liking his side of the story, right? Because he's like a widower, if I remember right, who's kind of like trying to get out of his lonely rut, if I remember right.
Okay.
That sounds right.
I believe you. I don't know if I've seen it, but I should watch it. Yeah, he's a widower. I did read that just now.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember liking that one.
That's good. Let's see. What else was great on here? There's a lot of movies that I know you love.
What is Mr. Brooks at? Have you ever seen Mr. Brooks?
You've talked about
it. You've never watched Mr. Brooks. God damn it, Jake. It's so
good. I know. You told me multiple times to watch Mr. Brooks.
God, Mr. Brooks is so good.
It's rotten at a 55%.
Fuck them. It's so good.
other ones that I know you love that I was going to right quick bring up. Dragonheart is at a 50%.
False.
Wrong. Move on. you like Kung Pao Enter the Fist, right? I think you've talked about that
before. Yeah, I remember when it first came out and laughing at it because it's so dumb.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's at a 13%.
Like I'm not going to lie. That's higher than I would have expected that movie
to be at. Okay, fair enough.
That's one of those I would have expected like an 8 or a 0.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting when they do give out the 0% rating because they've done that for sure. And it's like really? Nobody in the world will like this movie, you think? Like even a reasonable amount? They don't have to love it. But you don't think they'll even have an okay time? That's crazy. In The Mouth of Madness, is that a 57%? I know you love that movie.
That means someone either got too scared because it's so weird, or or they had a bunch of people that don't like watching horror
talk
about that one.
Yeah, I wonder that a lot with professional critics, like, if this movie's just not for you and it's not what you like, but you're still required by your job to review it, that's not fair. And then This Is Where I Leave You, which is a really good and serious movie, is at a 44%.
That is where that movie's at?
Yeah, 44%.
Oh my God. Yes.
It's such a like emotionally impactful story. Oh, God.
Again, it's a bunch of like grumpy just fuckheads who have no joy. Oh my God. This Is Where I Leave You has one of like the most, I love the ending. I mean, the whole story is just so good. Connecting with family again and just kind of coming to terms and to peace and learning how to, you know, convince your, or not convince yourself, but letting yourself know it's okay to move on and how to adapt to new situations. Oh my God. These fucking assholes, man.
Yeah, it's the kind of movie that I think some people will see and it will change their life. Like, it's that kind of depth movie.
It's so good.
And then Rotten Tomatoes also hates Adam Sandler, it seems like.
Like, I know, on principle.
Yeah, just on principle. It's like Zack Snyder to them. They're like, any movie is just like a 10%.
Except for Happy Gilmore. That one's rated high.
Is it? That's good. Shocked.
Yeah.
I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry is a 14%.
I don't remember that one all that well.
I think it's funny, and I think it's also like culturally appropriate because they are very pro like gay stuff. So you feel like even the like progressive critics would be like, okay. I mean, even you expect them to be bashing gays, but they're not. They should rate it a little bit higher. Grown-ups is at 10%.
That one. Like, I get Grown-ups is dumb.
Yeah, sure.
10% is heinous. That's actually my daughter's favorite. Like, she adores that movie.
It is really good. I should have looked up Click. I didn't look up Click.
They probably put it at like a 51.
34.
Oh my God.
Click is so good. It makes me cry every time I watch it. It's so good.
I mean, I almost feel like they're not even watching the full movies too sometimes. It's like, are you just watching a small clip that's like out of context, or like a talk show clip, and you're basing the whole movie, your opinion on the movie off of that one clip? Like, God damn it. These fucking people, dude.
Yeah. I get that feeling too. Let's see. I already told you about Twilight. That's probably all the cool ones. There's a lot of like nostalgic 90s ones like Encino Man.
That's they hated that one.
14%. Like, I mean, I kind of get it, but I also don't really get it.
What's Biodome at?
Oh, Biodome has to be lower than
that. It's got to be like in the single digits.
Yeah.
Seriously?
4%. Oh, 4%. Yeah, it's one of those notoriously disliked movies.
But it's so funny. Plus, you have
the first
like appearance of Tenacious D. And
it's historical epic, not epic, but like historical significance for that matter alone.
You know what? I bet the group of critics that rated Biodome were a bunch of hippies that got mad that the whole movie is making fun of hippies the entire time.
Yeah, that's probably very true. Saw is one that it's at a 50%. And that kind of seems a little high for me. And I'm also surprised that the audience has Saw at an 84%, because it's kind of just, I guess, divisive. Like, it's not for everybody, not just the subject matter of putting people in these extremely gruesome traps, but the way it's edited in particular, I think turns people off. And I don't blame them for that, because it's very jump cutty and screamy
I feel that first Saw, because it was like a fresh take on horror, or a fresh take on like some form of slasher, and now that it's so iconic and like instantly became that way, I think that's why that first one is rated so high with the audience, is because it really, I mean, it feels the most different out of the entire franchise.
Yeah.
And so I think fans or people in general are more forgiving of it for that aspect.
But I also think if you sat through the whole thing, the twist at the end blew people's minds.
Oh, yeah.
100%. And even if you didn't love the movie, that's what you walk away remembering.
Yeah, that twist is still fantastic. And I bet the sequels are all just complete. Like, I bet they're all rated just absolute garbage.
Yeah, yeah, they're probably a lot lower.
Yeah.
I've never seen Willow. Have you? You've seen Willow, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like it?
I don't remember it all that well. That was one growing up, watching it a couple times, but it was also one of those movies that, like, my mom didn't really want played at all because it had to deal with, like, weird magicry. That's not a word, bet. Like, it's got some weird shit in it, and I don't remember it all that well because it wasn't one that was really encouraged to watch. Just like Dark Crystal, it was years for me to watch Dark Crystal because that was like, ooh, it's evil, and I remember always arguing like, but it's puppets, and my brother was like, wait till you actually watch it; it's a lot more than just puppets.
Yeah, I haven't seen Dark Crystal either, but I'm like, I love the Jim Henson stuff, so I should probably watch that movie. And the same thing with Willow. I'm like, I've become a huge Val Kilmer fan. I should probably watch Willow, but never got around to it. It's at a 53%.
I remember liking Willow. I just don't remember it because I haven't watched it since I was like, I don't know, 9, maybe?
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
We're old now. another movie with weird magicry, I think, as you called it. This will upset my wife because she loves this movie. But I think it'll upset you, too, because you're a huge Sandra Bullock fan. Practical Magic is at a 24%.
Dude, that's so stupid. Practical Magic is like, that's a sweet movie. It's a good movie.
Well-constructed movie. Like, there's not really anything wrong with it.
Very well written. It's very, I mean, everyone can take something from it, but obviously it's very geared towards like strong women and sisterhood, and not just because they're witches, but like the movie is literally about sisters and protecting each other and
relationship with your mother.
Like there's a lot of positive stuff in that movie. The witchcraft that's in it, that's just fun. And kind of like the sprinkles on top, but the core of that film is really good. 29%. Man, fuck, god damn it.
Let's see. I had
this one episode more I should be titled you. Jake makes sure Dustin gets very frustrated.
Yeah. Yep, that's very true. Halloween 3 Season of the Witch is only at 50%, and Halloween 2, the original, is at 33%.
Ooh. Now, I'm kind of confused by that. I would have expected it to be flopped.
Hold on, let me double check. This isn't Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, because I didn't really write that down. It's possible that it's not the original.
I was going to say, like, the original Halloween 2, I feel, is actually well-received.
No, this is the original 1981 Halloween 2 at 33%.
Weird. Because it's not Zombies
has to be lower.
But
no, it's not. It's not that different than the first one. Like, it's not like drastically different.
Yeah.
Rob Zombies is at a 25%, which makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I want to be upset about Halloween 3, but that's one that I kind of get because that movie, so many people don't like it just because the title and the fact that Michael Myers isn't in it. But if you watch that movie without the assumption that you're going to see Michael killing people, it's such a unique film. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's a great, just Halloween, the holiday movie.
Yes. I'm not going to lie, dude, when Halloween season rolls around, I get so excited
for that annoying, stupid theme song that they play for the commercial of the masks.
Yeah.
But it's, I love Halloween 3. Season of the Witch is so good.
Yeah, it is so good. It's crazy to me that the original Halloween is at a 96% critics rating, and Halloween 2 is at a 30, whatever I said.
That's 33%. A huge shift.
For a movie that's not significantly worse.
Right. Like, in terms of sequels, Halloween 2, not the worst out there.
Yeah.
Like, they do a decent job.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy.
That's a big jump. That's a
really
big jump.
I guess I just have two more for you. So, Space Jam, which we all know and
love. I saw how low that one was.
43%.
That was one when LeBron James thought he was cool and was like, I'll replace MJ in a movie with the Looney Tunes. And the world unanimously was like, shut the fuck up.
The fuck you are.
Fuck you. You're not Michael Jordan. Like,
yeah.
Which, by the way, not being a basketball fan, but everything I've ever seen involving LeBron James makes me question why he has a fan base at all. That dude is, every clip I see of him, he's like whining or not actually trying, or he's just being a bit of a bitch.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how is this guy so popular?
Right. Like, he does not seem to have the same sort of grit or
the swagger, work ethic, or the leadership or anything. Yeah. I'm like, he's not the next Jordan. I don't care. I get that I don't watch basketball, so I don't have the statistics in front of me, but it'll boil down to how many rings does he have, and on top of that, how many rings with one team does he have?
Yeah.
If it's not five, then there's no argument. So or three, that's, or however many.
That's more than I even know about basketball. I just know MJ is the best and it will never be replaced.
But Space Jam, that's always been one that I've always like, I'll always praise it. But that was one I rewatched when that remake was coming out, or sequel, whatever the fuck it is, to be like, is it as good as I tell myself all the time? And the answer is yes. That movie is great.
It really is so good. Like, I get it's for kids, but I saw it as a kid, and
it's fantastic.
The way it's made me latch onto it so intensely as a kid, and I will never let go of it because it's so incredible.
Like, and it instantly puts you back into that mentality and those eyes of enjoyment, and you're able to just soak it up all over again as you did as a kid. So, you know, fuck Rotten Tomatoes and fuck LeBron James. So,
yeah. I think the same thing kind of goes for Disney's Robin Hood, the best Robin Hood we've ever had. It's almost not rotten at a 58%, but still,
but it should,
so low.
That's too low. That movie should be way high.
One of Disney's best movies.
It really is. I think the only real complaint people can have about that movie is that they don't sing and dance.
Yeah.
But I would argue
the rooster at the beginning does.
Right. I would argue that Robin Hood gives us a couple of the greatest Disney songs ever produced. So, and they both come from the rooster. There's Oodle-Oddly, and then there's his prison song, which is like one of the most emotional songs in a Disney movie.
Yeah. I love that whole movie.
It's so good.
The Maid Marian is pretty hot.
We all know.
That's a callback to our top 10 crushes episode, where I definitely did have a crush on the fox Maid Marian. She's foxy.
Yeah. Cartoon fox Maid Marian.
Yes.
The cartoon.
Obviously.
The animated animal.
I'm not a furry, just so
Jake,
you know.
That's the thing for.
Completely unrelated attraction. There's just something about her. She's special.
But I can't judge you, because if I remember right, I agreed with you. She wasn't on the list. But there is that close-up shot of her eyes where she like yeah. does that slope link, and
it's yeah. the eyelashes or something. I don't know what it is.
There's something where you're just like, oh, so this is what being putty feels like.
those animators knew what they were doing. That's for sure. I had the key to my heart strings, I guess. So yeah, that, I think that's a good amount of recap of full evidence and proof beyond the shadow of a doubt that Rotten Tomatoes is bullshit, and who cares what they have to say, because all of those are great movies that everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people would enjoy. And but so
I think to that's dislike, the
to steer people away from them is kind of not cool.
Yeah. I think that's kind of fun how you and I both approach this list. Cause we don't, when we're prepping for shows, it's very rare for us to like bounce stuff off of one another. And we do that yeah. on purpose, cause it keeps things kind of fresh so that we're not sure what we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I think it's fun that we both approached it with like a list for pretty much everyone and just pure entertainment.
Yeah.
Like that was the goal. Like,
yeah, these aren't like, you know, these aren't the like critic faves like Citizen Kane or some bullshit that you heard is good, but I've never seen. These are all the movies that you've actually seen and really, really liked. And I do think it appeals to everybody.
And these are the movies that critics are trying to convince audiences suck and yeah. you shouldn't be watching. And that's wrong. So. Right.
Yeah, the rotten rating, if you see, oh, this movie is rotten, then you're probably less likely to buy a ticket if you're not paying attention to the fact that, no, there's a lot of rotten stuff that is actually good. Yep. So maybe I should go see it anyway. Mostly because it's all personal and subjective, and you might like it whether somebody else liked it or not.
Right, right. Everyone has those. So. Yeah.
So yeah, go to Instagram and I will be posting our picks, and then at the end of the week or whatever, post the full lineup of each team, and you get to decide who you think has the better chance of, or who has the most enjoyable list of movies that are rotten by their standards. And we can't wait to see what you think. I think we are obviously biased to our own personal picks, but I don't know. It could go either way. They're very strong.
I think we have a couple very strong lists. I really do.
Yeah.
I think we both pulled out a couple sucker punches there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So I guess we'll find out. But
we will. Yeah, we'll find out who's the best list. And then you will find out what the deal is with the fan club and how you can get involved and support us and get some extra fun stuff in your life. And we really want you to take a look at that and see all the stuff we've been working on behind the scenes, because it's very exciting.
Yeah. Super cool stuff, y'all.
Okay. And I forgot to mention, I think they will all be out by the time this episode comes out. So if you also are looking for new episodes, we haven't done bonus episodes really in a very long time, but we've just done a couple of interviews with filmmakers, and we did two different bonus episodes that we'll be putting out or have been out by this time. One with the Jonathan Salemi, the writer and director of The Last Deal, which you probably heard us watch and enjoy. We got to pick his brain and hear what it was like making a movie with no permits in Los Angeles. And that was very interesting and exciting. And then we also did a full bonus episode with CJ Goodwin about his new movie that's not out yet, but all of the footage he's put out looks amazing. It's about Sherlock Holmes. It's called Mare of the Night, and it looks very kind of Poe-esque and grounded and gritty and darker version of Sherlock than you've ever seen. It looks very, very cool. So check those out, hear what they have to say, and go support their projects, because that's very cool.
Yeah, yeah. And especially with CJ's project, the Sherlock movie, his approach to getting it out there is really cool. So make sure you go and follow him. We'll follow both the guys, but give CJ a shout and tell him you want to see his movie, because he's got a cool plan for you with that. So
Yeah, he's still getting it, plans to getting it released and sent around the country and distributed and stuff. So you can help him make that more of a reality if you get out there. And that's very cool. So yeah, I think that's all we have.
I think that's it
for today. All right. Thank you, everybody. We love you and appreciate you. And go vote for me.
No, go vote for me, not Jake. No.
We'll see you guys next time.
See you guys.